Amen. You can be seated this morning, or this evening, rather. And let me just say, Pastor Shepherd, thank you so much for allowing us to come. Church, thank you for your hospitality and your labor of love for us these days. And it's just been wonderful, and all those behind the scenes. And we were here late one night, and those who were sweeping and mopping and cleaning up the kitchen, let me just say thank you. And I'm glad God's got a record book of your labor of love. And I'm thankful to be here in these days. Thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing us to come. Book of Psalms this morning. The book of Psalms, chapter number 142. Psalms 142 this morning. Didn't know if I was going to preach, if that would be the Lord's will or not, and Brother Shepherd allowed us to, but this is what God's placed on my heart. I couldn't get away from it this morning as I was studying. It don't have nothing to do with missions, I don't reckon. But Brother Shepherd said the other day, just preach whatever God puts on your heart, amen. And so, Lord willing, that's what we'll do this morning. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter number 142. We've been helped in these days. Thankful for the goodness of God and His mercy toward us in these days. The book of Psalms 142, we'll read the entirety of the chapter. And somebody says, thank the Lord, it's not Psalms 119, right? Amen. The Bible says this, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. If you look at the heading of your Bible, right underneath the chapter there, probably says these words, a maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. That word maskil just simply means this, a word or a prayer of instruction. So I want to preach on David's thought that he had for you and I this morning on a word of instruction from the cave of adversity. A word of instruction from the cave of adversity. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You this morning. Father, we're thankful to be in the house of God. But Lord, I do know this, that in the days in which we live as a child of God, adversity can hit us all. And Lord, I don't know who's underneath the sound of the voice this morning, whether in the auditorium or by airways. But Father, You do. And Lord, You ordained this message for this time. God, help us to know that in the days of adversity, that there is a God in heaven to help us. And God, I pray that You'd help us to be encouraged in the days in which we live. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen and amen. As we read the chapter here in Psalms 142, we find David is on the run. David has found himself in a lonely position. If you look in verse number 1, we find that David had a supplication. He said this, I cried unto the Lord. And can I say in the days of adversity in your life, the best thing you can do is to cry to the Lord. It ain't to go to Facebook. It ain't to go to neighbors or get on your cell phone. But the best thing we can do is to pray to the God of heaven. In verse number 2, we find David suffering. He said, I poured out my complaint. Can I just say this? There will come days of adversity in your life. And many times we go to the Lord and we ask Him to help us in those times. But here's the things that a lot of Christians say. I shouldn't be going through this affliction. I shouldn't be facing these hardships. Can I remind you what the Lord said in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45? He said it rains on the just and the unjust. And can I say to you this morning, you just being saved by the grace of God does not keep you away from adversity. David said, I've got to complain. Can I just say, I'm glad I can take the complaints of my life to the Lord. In verse number 3, He said this, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path and the way wherein I walked, had they privily laid a snare for me. Excuse me, verse 4, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that knew me. David said this, I'm in a lonely place. I'm in a solitude place. And can I say, when you face adversity, it's real easy to find yourself feeling like you're all alone. Can I give you some words of instruction this morning from David that we find in the chapter here? If we're going to look at adversity, I believe we should know and understand the definition of it. They tell me that the definition is simply this. It's an event or a series of events which oppose the success or the desires of one. It's misfortune. It is calamity. It's distress. Simply put this morning, it's a state of unhappiness. And can I say to you, we ain't got to go to Walmart. We ain't got to go to Dollar General. You ain't got to go to the gas station to find unhappy people. If we took time out, Pastor, this morning and went one by one, and there's probably somebody in here that's unhappy in your walk with God. Something has come against you. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's financial. Maybe something that you're praying for just didn't go your way. And can I say to you, that's a state of affliction. And you may look at it and say, God don't love me. God don't care about me. But can I just say this, in the time of afflictions of our life, I look at it this way. We're the clay on the potter's wheel. And that vase that we look on the shelf didn't happen overnight. There was some pressure. There were some hardships put on that clay. But then it had to go through the refining fire. And can I say to you and I this morning, God is allowing the afflictions of our life to mold us and to make us into His image. Can I just say this? I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but Brother Thompson, I'm sick and tired of watching Christians go through affliction and say, God don't care about me. I might as well quit. Hey, I'm glad that I've got somebody I can look to when He was on the cross. And He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But I'm glad He didn't get off the cross when God forsook Him. He didn't quit on me when it was hard, but He endured the hardness of the cross and He bought me with a price. And can I say, I've got somebody I can look to in my hardships this morning. I didn't ask, but it's okay if I move around, preacher. I didn't mention a lot, but I was a state police officer, and if I stand still too long, I'm afraid I'm a target. Somebody's going to throw a songbook, all right? But here's the thing. David is facing some affliction. David said in verse number 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld no man was there. Nobody cared for my soul. I don't know about y'all, but in times of affliction, it's a lonely place. It's a solitude place. You can have everybody around you, but then find yourself all alone. I began to think about in the lonely times of our life, many times we begin to reminisce on days gone by. Remember days when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, Dr. Bryant, I can remember days of being back at Grandma's house. I can remember having it real good at Granny's house. I could go to the pantry and there would always be Little Debbie's and RC Cola. There would always be food on the table, Dr. Bryant, when I would need to go to Grandma's house. And I'd come in between supper, or lunch and supper, and I'd go in and she'd say, honey, are you hungry? And she'd put food on the table for me. I had it real good at Grandma's house. But in the hard times of life, I began to reminisce on those good times. Can I say maybe David here, as he's sitting here in this cave, is looking at it and he's beginning to reminisce on days gone by. Maybe and he goes back to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. When all of a sudden a runner comes from his daddy's house and says, David, the man of God needs to see you down at your house. And he makes his way down there and he's like, I don't know why the preacher needs to see me. I'm nothing but a shepherd boy. I'm the outcast of society. When I go to town, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. They go on the other side of the street. I can't even go to the temple. I can't do nothing because I'm a shepherd and who I am. But as he went down there to where the man of God was, the man of God looked at him and God told the man of God, that's the next king over Israel. And I don't know about you, but I looked at it this way, brother. I thought Brother Goosby, he went down and nobody because he's a shepherd boy, but he came up with somebody because God did something in him. I don't know about you, Dr. Brown, but there was a day back in my life on February the 13th, the year 2001, where I went into a church as a nobody, the outcast of society. Nobody cared about me, but I'm glad there was a God in heaven and knew exactly where I was. And he said, I want to make something out of you. And he convicted me of my sins. And I went down to an altar, repented of my sins. And he washed me of my sins. And can I say, I went down to nobody, but in Jesus Christ, I came up as somebody. Amen. Amen. David's whole life changed in that one meeting with God. Hey, can I say, you can probably look back in your life and say, there was a day when God changed my life. Going from a drunkard and a drug addict to one day, now you're saved by the grace of God and a missionary in Jamaica. Hey, can I say, if it wasn't for that meeting with God, David never would have been the king of Israel, but God. Maybe he said, man, I thank God for the conversion in my life. Well, can I just say this? The day that I got saved by the grace of God didn't mean I had a bed of roses, Brother Shepherd. The very next chapter is the one you alluded to, brother. 1 Samuel 17. David just got to be anointed. I mean, the oil hadn't even dried on his robe yet. And here comes the Philistine army. Can I say to you, you may have been washed in the blood yesterday, but the Philistines of this world is going to come against you tomorrow. That devil's going to pop up and say, you sure you're saved? You sure you ought to put that bottle down? Yeah, you sure you ought to turn that dial on that radio? But there's something on the inside that swells up and says, there's a fight worth fighting. Hey, if nobody else is going to stand in 2024, God help me, Brother Jacob, to stand. Why? Because I've been saved by the grace of God, and He's called me into the battle that He's called us into. Don't help us get complacent in the battle and the calling. David goes down to 1 Samuel 17, and he looks around, and we know the story. Eliab, his brother, looks at him and says, David, I know the hardness of your heart that you've left, who have you left the sheep with? And David, I know you're down here just for you. But David looked around and said, is there not a cause? And can I ask y'all something, Island Ford Baptist Church, is there a cause why we do what we do here? Is there a reason why the lights are paid and the electricity's paid and why we went all week, Brother Shepherd, through missions? Hey, yeah, we're to send the gospel around the world, but here's my thought. What are we doing here in Madisonville, Kentucky? We was able to go to a store today and or the other day, and there's a lady there. She just moved in the area, and she spoke with my wife, and she said, I'm not from around here. I'm not going to church anywhere. And Brother Brian, today we went to go try to find her to give her a track and say, hey, we got a good church for you to go to. Hey, why do we have a church? There's still a cause this morning to have that local church. Think about what David was saying. Is there not a cause? David probably looked back right there and said, well, y'all just told me that the Philistines said, if I defeat you, y'all will be my servant. But if you defeat me, then we'll be your servants. I don't know about you, brother, but the devil today wants to take our young people away. He wants to get our young people to be servants back underneath bondage. Madisonville, Kentucky, I believe this, Island Ford Baptist Church, is a lighthouse for the next generation. Hey, what is the use? It's great for the seniors, but David's looking around saying, we need to have something to make sure that that next generation knows that the God of yesterday is the God of today and the God of tomorrow. Hey, why are we throwing down the sword? Why are we quitting? David said there's still a cause for that next generation. Well, how about my generation, Dr. Bryant? I mean, today it seems like they're dropping by flies. Can I just say this, preacher? I was born independent, fundamental, King James, premillennial, hellfire, and brimstone. This is all I've ever known. I've known about standards. I've known about convictions. And can I say, God help me, and Brother Thompson, not to lay down what I've been entrusted into me and to keep holding fast the standard and not lay down the Word of God, not lay down the standards that I've been given. Hey, God help us. There's still a cause for my generation. In the days in which we live, Dr. Bryant, hey, we need some of my generation that's going to stand and say, we're going to hold fast to the things of God. David said, hey, you older generation may lay it down, but I'm the younger generation. We're going to pick up the standard. We're going to pick up that old banner and wave it for the glory of God and say, it's still worth fighting for this evening. Hey, I still believe in the King James Bible, amen. Hey, it ain't a version. It is the Word of God. Brother Brian, I still believe in the standards of Timothy chapter 3 of the calling of a bishop. And can I say there's a lot of controversy? I'm trying not to get in the weeds here, Brother Shepherd, but here's what I'm finding while I'm hearing. Well, it's only good for the pastor. No, that bishop there means an elder. And if that man's going to hold a position and hold an authority over anybody, he's got to line up with the Word of God this morning. You say, Brother Nathan, what are you saying? Brother Gould, I'm just simply saying there's a cause worth fighting for our generation. But how about the senior saints, Brother Thompson? Them 60, 70, 80 year olds. Hey, can I just say this? If it wasn't for a 70 year old grandma, Brother Shepherd, on Western North Carolina, up in the mountains, nobody knew her name. Nobody cared who she was. But I can remember days where she would get alone with God in her prayer closet, begin to pray, God, will you touch somebody in my family? Would you raise a preacher up that will preach the Word of God? God, would you put a hedge about my grandson? God, would you do something for Nathan? Hey, can I tell you, the older generation, your days may be fading and it may be waning, but don't you dare drop the ball down. Keep on keeping on. As long as there's breath in the lungs, you keep on praying. As long as God gives you a thumping heart, you keep on serving. Hey, God wants you to serve in the days in which we live. David said there's a cause, but then we find David's comfort. We understand. I'm sorry, I've got a big old long taxiway and we'll land real quick, preach. Is that okay? Brother Thompson, here's what I find. David made his way down to the brook before he ever went to the battle. You know what we got today? We got a lot of people running past the brook to get to the battle. You better get along with God before you ever face the giants of your life. David said, I know there's a giant down there in that brook, or past that brook. But he said this, the battle's been put in array. There's an enemy on one side and God's people on the other. But there's a line where God's put, and it ain't been put there by man, but God put a brook there. Hey, I'm glad God's put a brook in your lap this morning, where when the hard times come and the giants come your way, I'm glad I've got the word of God that I can find some comfort and help for my soul. David reached down there and he got five smooth stones. And you say, preacher, why'd he do that? Brother Brian, I believe he knew that there was Goliath and four other brothers. And I don't know about y'all, but listen, when I went to work as a police officer, as state police, Brother Brian, I didn't go with only one bullet. I'm not Barney Fife. Somebody say amen right there. But here's the issue. I crammed them bullets in as many as I could. I made sure I had my backup weapon was clean. I mean, I was a dog handler. I made sure his teeth were polished and clean. I made sure everything was in operating order. Why? Because I knew when I got outside of my house that there was a battle that could take place, and I want to be ready for the war that was at hand. Can I say to you, I'm glad that there's a place in Madisonville, Kentucky, where the people of God can come in and find some help for their soul. This is the sanctuary of God, and I'm glad in the hard times of life, you could come in here. The man of God mounts the pulpit, preaches the word. You get locked and loaded, and you go out to face a battle without. Thank God there's a place to find some help in the time of need. Amen. David found comfort. He found grace before the battle ever took place. But then he got to David's conflict, and we find where David gets to Goliath. Can I just say this? The Bible says he ran to the battle. He didn't tarry. Once he got the help he needed, Brother Thompson, he ran straight head to the battle. You know what a lot of people do, preacher? They'll come in and hear the preaching like we heard last night. Are we as strong today as we were back then? And we get convicted in our hearts and we say, well, that was real good. And we don't run and take care of what we need to get taken care of. David said, God gave me the help I need. I'm going to go take care of the battle. Amen. Thought about David as he gets up there. Goliath looks at him and says, David, come unto me. And he said, I'm going to rip your flesh asunder. I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. Nobody's ever going to remember you. But here's what David said. Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a shield. But I come in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm glad to know this morning this thing isn't fought by the carnal weaponry of our life, but I'm glad it's a spiritual warfare. You say, why, Brother Nathan? Because the one who lives inside of me is greater than the things that are without me. And I'm glad I got somebody that's bigger than everything that's on the outside of me. And Brother Thompson, when the road gets hard and the way gets rough, I'm glad I've got God on my side. And he said, I go before thee to fight your battles. Hey, we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ this morning. Giant comes tumbling down. I got to hurry. I got 3 points. I promise I'm being quick. Dr. Brian, the giant comes tumbling down. But here was the issue, Brother Shepherd, and you correct me if I'm wrong. When I looked at it, in the last part of 1 Samuel 17, the people of God did not rejoice when he saw him fall. They looked and they were probably saying this, Dr. Thompson, he'll get up again. Oh, he'll rise up again. How many times have we seen somebody go through a giant time after time and not get total victory? Oh, yeah. Oh, he'll get up again. Yeah. They'll never serve God. But Brother Brian, here's what David did. He said, I'm not waiting for that giant to get another breath. I'm not waiting for that giant to push back up. I'm going to run and stand on top of him. I'm going to draw his sword out and I'm going to lop his head off. Then the Bible says that the people of Israel shouted for the battle and they said they drove them out of the land. Hey, can I tell you this morning? If we're ever going to get the victory in our churches again, if we're ever going to conquer the Goliaths and the giants of our lives, we're going to have to bring them to an altar, lay them on the altar, Brother Shepherd, and cut their heads off for the glory of God. Amen. Dr. Bryant, I was told as a young man, if you couldn't trust yourself with a radio knob, super glue the thing shut. Yes. And if you can't do it, I'll be glad to do it for you. Amen. You say we ain't got nothing good to listen to. I believe 89.9 is pretty good to listen to. Amen. Well, preacher, you know, it's real hard to turn that TV off. Hey, come by my house. I got a sledgehammer. I'll take care of that thing for you, amen. Brother Thompson, can I say, God help us to get back to where we once were like we heard last night and get the victory back in our lives. The devil's brought us out back underneath bondage and we've got accustomed to the bondage. Hey, God wants to give us victory this morning. Lay it on the altar and give it to Him this morning. Amen. The total victory, David's conflict, David's champion. But then we see David's praise here. As he makes his way back into Jerusalem, here's what happens. The women begin to sing what? Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. Now here's the thing. As David's hearing all this, David wasn't getting the big head. David said, the hope for Israel isn't in me. It's in the Lord. Can I just say this? This is political time I'm going to get right now. But Brother Thompson, my hope ain't in the White House in 2024 or 2025 or 2026. My hope isn't in Lexington, Kentucky. And my hope ain't in the things of this world. The hope that I have this morning is in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I've got one who said, I set the kings up and I bring the kings down. You say, Brother Nathan, what are you going to do if Kamala gets it? I'm going to praise the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy to be praised. Hey, all this is going according to His will. Hey, child of God, it's about high time we get our eyes off of Washington and get it back on heaven and get our eyes on that eastern sky. Brother Brian, He's coming soon. What are we going to do for it? But here's what happens with David. He has another conflict arise. The Bible says, I believe it's 1 Samuel 18, that Saul eyed David from that day forward. And you know what it was? It wasn't that he was afraid of David. And Brother Shepherd, it wasn't because that he thought David was going to harm him. What it was bitterness sprung up in Saul's heart. Now, here's the thing that happens, Dr. Thompson. I've been in this thing, I'm 39, I've been in this thing for 39 years. Before I was born, I was in church. Now, here's the thing, Dr. Thompson. I've watched a lot of people in church get bitter at other people because they see God bless them in their life. And they sit on the seat of do-nothingness. And say, God, why are you blessing them and not me? The problem is, Dr. Bryant, they were like Saul in 1 Samuel 15, where the hand of God was removed off of him, and he knew it not. You know what I'm afraid of, Dr. Shepherd? There's a lot of people around us this morning that doesn't even know the hand of God's been removed off of them. And they get bitter at the other people of God that's trying to do something for God. And they say, I'm going to throw a javelin at their head, and I hope I kill them. Saul wasn't trying to be passive about this thing. He wasn't trying to be passive. He said, I'm trying to kill him. Yep. And can I say this? Church, one of the worst hurts you'll ever face in your life. Yep. Those that you serve with and those that you love and those that you come in Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, meeting after meeting. And Brother Goosley, we live with them. We come to serve with him and they stab us in the back. And this is where we find David in the cave. David has found himself in a place of hardship. You say, Brother Nathan, why did you tell us all that introduction? Well, I got 3 points. I'm sitting down. Number one, look in verse number 3. What is the word of instruction in the time of affliction? Well, the Bible says this in verse number 3. Verse number 3. I'm sorry. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Well, here's the thing about that. David said, when I got to a place of being overwhelmed, and I got to a place where I feel like there's no hope in sight, I'm glad somebody knows my path. Amen. Now here's the thing. Here's the word of instruction. Know this, that in time of affliction, know that your Father will prove Himself in the time of affliction. Amen. David said, thou. Well, who's the thou that's in that verse? He isn't speaking of his father, Jesse. Jesse's nowhere to be found. He's not speaking of the blood covenant between him and Jonathan, because Jonathan's nowhere to be found. But he said, I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that knows exactly the path I take, because in Psalms 37, I wrote these words, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You say, what are you saying, Brother Nathan? I'm glad the day that I got saved, Brother Brian, there was no good in me, but the moment I got saved, the goodness of God in dwelled me. And from that point forward, Brother Shepherd, my steps have been ordered and ordained by God. Hey, I'm not Calvinist in one inch or one iota. I believe we do have a free will, but I believe God has got a plan for us, and we walk by faith one step at a time, and He knows exactly where we're at.
You say, Brother Nathan, how do you know that? Well, I believe David said this. He said, Saul, I can't use your armor. I can't use your sword because I haven't proven them. He said, well, how do you know that God's going to show up? He said, well, let me tell you something. He said, there was a day when a lion came and tried to take the sheep, and God showed up and delivered a lion. He said, there was a day when a bear came up and tried to take the sheep, but God showed up. He said, if God be for me aforetime, I know God will be for me now. Hey, child of God, can I tell you something? I'm glad to know that the God in heaven knows exactly where you're at. He knows the affliction you're in, and He wants to help you in your time if you'll just trust Him. I know by Bible college standards, we're not supposed to give a lot of stories about our personal life. But preacher, is that okay if I just share? Listen, I ain't boasting by no means, but I'm telling you, if God could do it for nobody like me, He can do it for you. When I got saved at 16, my pastor told me to start praying specifically for a wife and my family. So I started praying, Dr. Thompson, for a wife from Georgia. I'm from Western North Carolina. You say, why from Georgia? I said, I got sick and tired of Tar Heels. Amen. I need a Georgia peach, Brother Shepherd. Praise God. But here's what I did. I prayed specifically for a wife from Georgia. Guess where my wife's from?
Georgia.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Brother Brian, then I started praying only for a wife from Georgia. I was praying for her firstborn son. Well, we get married a year and a half into our marriage. We find out we're expecting Braden. Well, this is how I was. We took vacation from South Dakota. I was in the military there. We traveled from South Dakota to Western North Carolina. And Brother Thompson, this is how I drive. We get in the car and the tank's on full. We drive till it's empty. You got 5 minutes to go in and get whatever you want. Get back in the car and we're driving again. Amen. I'm glad Brother Thompson's here by himself because he can say amen. None of the other men want to say amen right there. But my wife's great with child, brother. And I drive 23, 24 hours straight through. We get in North Carolina about 1, 2 a.m. And my wife looks at me. We're sitting on my mama's couch. She looks at me. And my wife says, Nathan, get me to the hospital. Being the good husband I am, take 2 baby aspirin, call me tomorrow. It'll be okay. She said, it ain't like that. It's serious. The baby hasn't moved in a few hours. Something's wrong. We rush to the hospital. Doctors walk in. They say, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, we don't know how to tell you this, but your baby is going to die tonight. Then the doctor turned her attention from me and my wife to only me, brother. And here's the word she said. Not only going to lose your son, but you're going to lose your wife. Brother Shepherd, everything that I had prayed for. You say, Brother Nathan, you're saying, no, I was tithing, giving a mission, soul winning. Brother Brian, I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing as a child of God, but God put me in a place of affliction. Right. Brother Shepherd, the only thing I knew to do was to go to my Explorer and pray. Yeah. I walked over there, looked at my wife, said, I'm going to pray. She said, okay. I walked down and I prayed to God, and here's what I prayed. Lord, whatever your will is, I'll accept it. Brother Shepherd, at that point in my heart, in my life, I was willing to accept whatever God's will was. See, here's the thing we'll always do, a lot of us do in a time of affliction. Lord, if you'll intervene, I'll read my Bible more. Lord, if you'll intervene in my situation, do what I want you to do, I'll tithe more. But here's the problem. God isn't in the deal-making mood. You say, how do you know that? Well, when I got saved, I didn't come my way. I had to come His way. And then when He called me to preach, I didn't come my way, I came His way. And then when He's done all these, He's not in a deal-making mood. So I was going through Bible college in the book of Job right about that time. And here's what Job said in the middle of his ashes. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Job didn't make a deal with God. Let me go sacrifice more. He didn't say, let me go read more. He said, in the middle of everything being taken away of my life, the best thing I can do is say, there's a thrice holy God in heaven, and He has a perfect will for my life. And whatever His will is, I will accept His will and lift my hands toward heaven and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. David fell back on that promise and he said, I'm glad to know that there's a God in heaven that knows the path I take, and He's got an ordained step for me, and I'm just going to trust Him and praise His name. In the middle of it all, He will show up and be mighty in my life. What happened, Brother Nathan? Well, I walked back in the hospital room, Brother Thompson, looked at my wife, kissed her on the head. She said, what did God say? I'm glad she didn't ask me what Joel Osteen said. Amen. I wasn't looking for a better me now. Amen. And I looked at her and I said, well, God said it's going to be okay. She said, what's that mean? I said, I ain't got a clue, but he said it's okay. I'm glad that in the middle of my adversity, God didn't tell me what he was going to do. He just said it's going to be okay because I'm with you. Bro Thomas, aren't you glad in the hard times of life, he'll just scrooge up and make himself known and just say, I'm here with you, son. I know it's hard. I know the road's rough, but don't you worry. I'll be with you through it all. It's going to be okay. About 30 minutes later, doctor walked in. They said, Mr. Johnson, while you were out doing whatever you were doing, we felt like we needed to run more tests. Let me tell you what that felt like is, preacher, in the medical term. That's the providential hand of God moving the hands of the doctors. And they're saying, we just feel like we didn't know God moved them. Amen. They said, we ran those numbers. And Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, we don't understand what we're seeing. We've ran it to the textbooks, and the textbooks don't explain it. The numbers shouldn't be doing this. We've re-entered them into the computer, and the computer can't compute it. We've pulled a board together, the brightest minds, and the minds can't understand it. But for some odd reason, 30, 45 minutes ago, the numbers changed to the point the way your son's going to be okay, and your wife's going to be okay. What are you saying, preacher? In the young days of my life, there was a lie that tried to come and tear me apart, but I'm glad I've got a God who said the government's on my shoulder. And the worlds are in chaos, but I will take time out of my day to come to where you are and show you that I am the great God of glory. And God, say to you, I've looked back day after day, time after time, and said, God, if you could do it then, I know you can do it now. David said, he's done it for me before. This thing with Saul's no big thing. My God will deliver me again. He said, no, number one, that the Father will prove himself. Number two, look in verse number four. Now hurry. He said this. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Verse number four, know this. Not only that your father will prove himself in verse three, but in verse four, know this, your friends will prove themselves in the time of need. You say, Brother Nathan, there's nobody here in verse number four. I understand that. But I'm glad to know that when I got saved, I got put into the body of Christ. And when one body part hurts, they all hurt. Can I just say this? You don't trust me. You don't believe that? Brother Goolsby, we'll go find a hammer, hit somebody's thumb on the left hand. I'm pretty sure the right one will begin to throb. Amen. Here's the thing, Brother Thompson. We see the body of Christ going through affliction day after day. And we come in and we've heard the afflictions preached of the church here, of people going through things here. And it breaks our hearts to hear, Lord, why are they going through that? But here's what we do, brother. We pray for them. And we're there to help them in their time of need. David said, I looked at my right hand and beheld no man's with me. Nobody cares for me. But little did David know when he was praying that prayer, 1 Samuel 22 was being written. You say, what does that say? I'm glad you asked me. Turn your Bibles. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. In verse number one. And while you're turning there, I'm going to give you this one. Malia, you back here, raise your hand, Mo. Everybody turn around there and look at Mo. Embarrass her real good. That's Mo. Malia, at the age of 14 months, was hit with a stroke. Woke up on a Monday morning, her whole right side of her body's paralyzed all the way down. Brother Shepherd, we rushed to the hospital, and in 2 months' time, God had her back to where she is today. Walking, talking, everything's great. But after that stroke, Brother Thompson, it allowed seizures to begin to hit her. And for the next 5 months, Dr. Bryant, she would have one seizure at least a month. Boom, boom, boom. Now here's what happens with afflictions, preacher. When people go through them and it's a repetitive affliction, we get used to hearing it. Oh, they're down on their back again. Oh, they're sick again. Oh, they've got another issue. Oh, we just need to pray for them. And if we're not careful, the first one, preacher, when I was in the hospital with that first seizure was Malia, my phone rang off the hook. Yeah. But that fifth one, I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, Dr. Thompson, and my phone don't even ring. Yeah. I'm pastoring a church. Y'all want to take a guess how many members came by? Zero. You know why? They got used to the affliction. Right. So here I am, Dr. Bryant, looking around saying, God, what's the use? I'm here laboring and pastoring and caring. I've been doing this and doing that. And God, I've labored for you. I've served you. And Lord, you won't touch my daughter. You won't take these seizures away from her. God, I don't know what's going on. Nobody's here to help me in my time of need. Nobody cares for my soul. I quit. I'm sure nobody else quit on God, Brother Shepherd, but I quit. But here's what I didn't do. I didn't put it on Facebook. And Brother Todd said, I didn't tell my wife either. She's sitting there holding that baby. You know what I told her? God's going to do it again. But Dr. Brian, in my heart, I quit on God. I said, nobody cares. What's the use? Four and a half hours later, the door of the hospital opens up. There stands a man there. I'm just going to tell you his name because it goes with the story. Brother Stacy Piercy standing in the doorway of the hospital. And I look at him and I said, Brother Stacy, why are you here? You're supposed to be in Georgia preaching. He said, well, Brother Nathan, let me give this balloon and this teddy bear to your daughter. And I'll tell you. He said, I woke up this morning, was praying, God, what would you have me do today? He said, I got in my truck and started driving. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost of God moved in my truck and said, you need to get to North Carolina and go see Brother Nathan Johnson. And he said, I drove up here and it took me about 4.5 hours. Now, Dr. Thompson, 4.5 hours ago, I said, God, I'm done. But little did I know that God was writing another chapter in my book and said, hey, I hear the cries of my child. Let me just send somebody to help you that you don't know. So what happened in 1 Samuel 22? Look at your Bible. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, the one we read about. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, what did they do? They got on Facebook and talked about him. They formed a committee. Dr. Bryan said, well, we need to have a committee to talk about whether we're going to go help David or not. No. The Bible says that when they heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. Now, here's the thing. David didn't know somebody was coming. But I'm glad to know there was a God in heaven that said, I hear your cry. Let me go tell the others to come to where you are. When Brother Stacy walked in, he said, I was praying of what I ought to do, and I knew I was supposed to come see you. So then I started praying, Lord, what would you have me to tell him? Now, y'all can believe this if you want to or not. It don't bother me. I know why I'm here this morning. I was done, Dr. Brian. I quit on God. He walked over where my mind was at. He said, this is what God told me to tell you. He told me, don't you dare quit on God. God knows the affliction that you're in. He sees the pain that you're in. And it may feel like you're all alone, but God's not done with you yet. Brother Shepherd, I'm glad that there were some people that heard what David's affliction was. And they went down thither to him. And they said, David, we're just here to help you out in your time of need. Amen. Well, Brother Nathan, you know we would help him if we could. You know how many times we hear that, Brother Shepherd? I don't have no money to help them. I don't have no words to say. But what did it say in 1 Samuel 22, preacher? It said all those that were in debt. Anybody in debt in here this morning? I mean, I didn't see a Learjet in the bag and somebody flew in on, Brother Thompson. We're all probably in debt. How about somebody that's in distress? Anybody else in distress this morning? How about just discontented, out of joint, just not feeling it? They said, hey, if things ain't going our way either, David. But we're in this thing together. Yeah. Hear me, you ain't got your Bible in your lap. Come here. You know what they said? David, we're here to pick you up in your time of need. Brother Brian, can I say this? Brother Stacy came to where I was that morning. He put his shoulder underneath me and he lifted me up and said, David, Nathan, you may feel like you're going to quit, but if you'll just lean on me, I'll help bear your heavy load and carry you around. Hey, can I say to you, Dr. Brian, then there's times where I've went to him and put my shoulder over him and said, David, or Brother Stacy, let me pick you up and let me pray for you. Hey, we are the body of Christ this morning. We ain't in this thing to fight. We're not in this thing to bicker. We're in this thing as a body collective to work together to go forward for the cause of Christ. Amen. David said, know your father. Number two, know your friends. Verse number seven, number three. Y'all preach me to death. He said this, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Amen. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Number one, know your father. Number two, know your friends. But number three, David said this, bring my soul to prison that I may. Do y'all see that word may? That gives the tense of the verse. And the tense of the verse is not past tense. He didn't say, bring my soul out because I did praise thy name. He didn't say, bring my soul out in present tense, that I am praising thy name. But here's what he did say. Bring my soul out of prison that I may. David said, I've got enough faith in the God to know this. He promised me to be the king over Israel. And the last time I checked, this is not the palace. This is not the throne room. This isn't what God's promised me. I'm just a stranger in a weary land going through hardships. But there's a better day coming on the horizon. I've got faith in one who has never failed me and never forsaken me. He's promised me a better day. And I've got enough faith knowing that God will prove himself to be the mighty one. Amen. Know this, that the faith you have will prove itself in the cave of adversity. Brother Nathan, what are you saying? Well, say it like this. We're saved by works, right? No, what do we say by? Faith. That's interesting, Brother Shepherd. So you're telling me that when we got saved by faith, we trusted an almighty God to save our undying soul from a place of hell and removing from him forever and eternity. But yet that same God cannot take care of our fleshly bodies. We have enough faith to know that he'll take care of us for eternity. But he don't have the ability, Brother Thompson, to take care of our need in the place of affliction. You know what David said? David said, I put a trust in a God who's going to take care of me in my eternal life. But I'm putting my trust in the God, not only that, but I got faith that saved me. But I got a faith that sustains me. I'm pastoring a church. I'm going to give you this story and I'm done. Brother Shepherd, I'm pastoring a church. They're doing everything they can do. Mama comes to me on Sunday night. And she says, Nathan, we ain't got no food in the pantry. And I'm like, what do you mean we ain't got no food? She said, honey, there's no breakfast food or nothing for the babies to eat in the morning. Now, Dr. Brian, I was raised old school. I may not eat, but them babies are going to eat. And I looked around and I said, well, honey, go to the store and go get something. She said, we ain't got no money either. And I said, well, what are we going to do now? Dr. Brian, I could have called my mom an hour and a half away and said, hey, we need some breakfast. You know what she'd have done? She'd have cooked it. I could have went to the deacons and said, hey, I need a little bit of extra cash. Can y'all mind to go ahead and give me some, take an advance or whatever? I could have went and started me a GoFundMe page, Brother Thompson, and try to take care of that. But I have remembered of days gone by my little granny. On Western North Carolina, Cedar Mountain, in the wee hours of the morning, I'd wake up, hear something going on in the pantry area, and I look, and a little light be on, Brother Shepherd, and I could hear her saying, Lord, would you provide for tomorrow and give us some food to eat? I'd wake up the next morning, Brother Goolsby, and there'd be bacon and eggs and different things on the table. I didn't understand where they came from. I just knew there was breakfast, amen. But in my time of affliction, I realized that there was a God that provided back then. Let's just see if he can do it for me. So I went to my prayer closet and I said, Lord, will you do something to show my babies that the faith I have in you is real? Amen. See, here's the thing. People come by and give us a green handshake. Praise God for that Baptist handshake. Yeah. Well, they don't see it, brother. I've went to the mailbox, there'd be a check. They don't see that. I mean, Mo, the other day, we're walking through town. She sees one of them square boxes in the wall. She says, Daddy, go get some money out of it. It don't work that way. Amen. Brother Shepherd, they don't understand how that works yet. But I wanted them to see that God can supply our need. Went to bed, 7 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in that range. Brayden and the girls began to scream, Daddy, come out here! Brother Thompson, police, military. I'm grabbing ARs, pistols, bulletproof, Kevlar. I'm thinking it's World War III, amen. Brayden looks at me and says, Daddy, it ain't like that. I'm like, oh, man. Go put everything back. Walk back out there, and he says, Dad, look behind the freezer. And I go looking behind the freezer, Brother Shepherd. And right behind the freezer was some makeshift nest. In the midnight hour, chickens came up and laid fresh eggs on our porch. Now here's the interesting thing, Brother Thompson. I went around after a few weeks of these chickens laying eggs on my porch day after day after day. They said, come get your chickens off my porch. Here's what my neighbor said. We ain't ever had no chickens around here. These ain't nobody's chickens. Nobody has chickens around here. You know what happened, Brother Goolsby? I said, Lord, I've got faith in you that you saved me. And you said I'm going to provide all of your needs according to my riches and glory. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you for my daily food. And can I say to you, if he can feed a prophet by a raven, if he can feed the people of God by manna falling from heaven, if he can take care of David in a cave, how much more, Dr. Thompson, does he love his child this morning? He said he knows every number of head or lack a number of hairs on her head. He knows when a sparrow falls. I'll trust him knowing that he will take care of me. Amen. Brother Thompson, I realized then that I've got a faith that it will sustain me if I'll just trust him who saved me. David said, I've got faith knowing. Well, what happened to David, Brother Shepherd? Well, we understand in just a few more years, God fulfilled his promise and put him in his rightful place. Child of God, there will come a better day. Amen. If you'll just have faith knowing this. Dr. Bryan, I'm not as old as you are yet, but I pray when I'm there, I'm as faithful to God as you are. Amen. But here's what I've learned in my young age. I once was young, but now I'm old. I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. Amen. Or a seed begging bread. Amen. My God has taken care of me. And he'll take care of you if you'll just trust him. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Bless this place. Bless Brother Shepherd and Island Ford Baptist Church. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Man, appreciate that preaching, don't you? We need to be encouraged to trust our God. Amen. Believe it. Don't quit on him now. Amen. You think about all those blessings he preached about. And I'm glad we got a Bible full of promises just like that. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get Brother Doug Thompson to come tell us about BizPAC there a little bit. And then when he gets done, Brother Jimmy Moore is going to finish us off here today. All right? Brother Thompson, you come on if you will. Appreciate you being with us today. Amen. Bless you.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you, brother.
Well, what the preacher said is right.
Amen.
I had to be in a meeting last night, and lo and behold, there's a gentleman with a pretty good-sized family that moved into this area, and he moved in from up Indiana down this way. Got a little factory, got a few cattle, and witnessed to him and tell him about this place, hoping he'll show up.
Amen.
And a precious man, good man. And so you always got to be busy. You never know when God put somebody in your path.
Right.
That you might be able to guide them to the place where the Lord can help them. And I bless his sweet name.
Amen.
I want to say a word about WSOF. I remember the first time that I tried to find it on a radio station. I was cutting hair in Central City. If you know where the Walmart is, there's a car lot right there that I used to have six people working for me, plus me and my wife cutting hair in what was known as Studio 62.
Uh-huh.
And I got gloriously saved, and I had my diet of country music, ZZ Top, Led Zeppelin, and all that crazy mess.
Yeah.
November the 18th, 1984, 9:45 on a Sunday morning, I got gloriously saved.
Amen.
And when I got saved, I went to the house, looked in the mirror, and God said, I don't like your hair the way it is.
Yeah.
I didn't hear one message on how you ought to cut your hair.
Right.
I had a mullet.
Yeah.
I had an earring in my ear, my wife's necklace on.
Uh-huh.
And God started dealing with me.
Amen.
And I went back in the barbershop, and there was that old crazy music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure out what God was doing. He was sanctifying my heart.
Right.
Moving me out of that dark lane into the light of the gospel.
Amen.
And I asked somebody, I said, you know anything better on radio than this mess? Well, yeah, it's on FM 89.9. And I turned it over, and I had speakers in every booth of that barbershop. Would you believe the first person I heard was Lester Leo Roloff.
Amen.
Mays Jackson.
Yep.
Harold Seitler.
Yep.
And them guys got to preaching and stirring in my heart.
Amen.
And so I liked it.
Yep.
But the people that worked for me didn't like
yeah.
it. And the people that came in the barbershop didn't like
yeah.
it. And so they would turn the dial,
yep.
turn it back. I got tired of running back and forth, and God had me to put a little poster with this on it. Notice, this station broadcasts the Word of God. And if you're ashamed of me and my Word, are y'all listening?
Yeah.
In this adulterous, sinful generation, when the Son of Man cometh, you know the scripture, right?
Yeah.
And I put it at the bottom. Turn it at your own risk.
Amen.
They left it alone.
Right.
Nicknamed the barbershop the first barbershop of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Then they had a marathon, and I got to hearing people shouting and crying and raising money. And there was a woman that drove from Louisville, Kentucky to get a perm. And my wife was giving her a perm. And she had that cotton around her ears and that stuff dripping down her face. And my wife kept coming to my booth. You need to come over and talk to Leanne. I said, I'm busy listening to this preaching. You need to come talk to Leanne. I said, honey, I'm busy listening to the preaching. She said, you better come on in here. When I got in there, I said, what's the matter with you, Leah? And she was crying her eyes out. She said, that preaching getting to me. Little did y'all know you was giving money to keep the station on the air, but God was taking what was said, brought a woman from Louisville, Kentucky, getting a perm, in a barber shop where he just saved an old barber. Y'all listening, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you really want it bad enough, you'll get out of this chair on your knees. Now, let me explain that. There's hair on the floor.
Yeah.
There's all that stuff that smells like rotten eggs on the floor. That businesswoman from Louisville, Kentucky slid out of that barber chair, got on her knees, got that mess on her clothes, and cried out to Jesus and got saved.
Amen.
Now, whoever kept the lights on, the radio on, I didn't do that. God done that through this work.
Right.
And you never know where the word's going to land and when God's going to water it and use it for his glory and honor.
Yes, sir.
I'm just glad it was on.
Amen.
I'm glad it helped me.
Amen.
I'm glad God used it to stir me and help me.
Yes, sir.
And bless me when I was a young Christian. And I'm just so thrilled to be saved. Thank you, preacher. I felt like I need to say that.
Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Now, the preacher referred to 1 Samuel 17. Let me say this for a minute. When you look at that, you understand that all the men of war was in a trench.
Yep.
And you look at that, you understand the king was fearful of the giant he was talking about.
Yep.
You understand God brought a shepherd, keep that in mind, over to the battle. And you've got to understand the battle was about freedom.
Right.
It was about a nation being brought into slavery or having total victory. Now, let's think about it just a minute, and I'll talk about Beezypack here in a second. God didn't use the king to set that nation free.
Nope.
He did not use the warriors. Matter of fact, King Saul tried to offer that crowd, if you'll kill him, you can be my son-in-law. His daughter must have been an ugly woman. Nobody took him up on it.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me? I mean, that was a big offer. Ain't that right, Brother Bryant?
Right.
Glorious position, but they were afraid. And now they have heard that giant say, for 40, you listen to me, for 40 days, he disdained them twice a day.
Right.
80 times they heard it. Nobody responded but fear. The shepherd comes, hears it one time. God so stirs him, he says, is it not a cause? God so uses him, our brother just told us about, that he cut his head off.
Amen.
Now, you want to know why America's in trouble? You want to know how God's going to get America out of trouble? He ain't going to use the warriors.
Right.
Y'all listen to me.
Right.
He done said it. He ain't going to take the president.
Right.
It's going to take the shepherds.
Amen.
Of God's house.
Amen.
Standing up. Declaring, thus saith the Lord, to make a difference. You can change all you want to up at D.C. But if you don't start at the bottom, you can't build from the top down. That's foolishness. You got to start local. Local. And God used the shepherd to change all of that stuff. To bring a nation out of bondage into freedom.
Amen.
Now, let me quote a verse to you, and then I'll get out of the way here in a minute. We all know what Genesis 12 says, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know that this is the only place God places this kind of a promise. Speaking to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee.
Right.
And I will curse him that curseth thee.
Right.
And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Is that correct?
Right.
Now let's turn to the book of Joel. I want to read you something out of the Old Testament that I hope that will settle in our heart. Look at chapter 3 and verse 2. I will also gather all nations. So if you would underscore the word all, you can place America right there. Are we a nation?
Right.
I will bring all nations down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will plead with them there for my people. Now watch what's going on. He's going to judge them, number one, for his people.
Right.
Now watch. And he said, for my heritage, Israel. God is going to bring all nations to that valley, Jehoshaphat, for one reason. I will judge them for how they are treating my heritage and my people. Look at the last part of that verse. And they parted my land. Not Israel's, but mine.
Right.
Beezy Pact. Baptist, Zionist. The word Zionist means that you are a Bible believer in believing that covenant promise God made to Abraham's seed to give them that land.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
So that makes you a Zionist. And by you believing doctrine, that makes you a Baptist.
Yeah. Amen.
So you're a Baptist and you're a Zionist. Public Affairs Committee. I've been on this road nearly 40 years now. When I left, I gave away my house, a car, two businesses, and I left with $500 in my pocket, and I set sail for God less than 6 months old in the Lord. Wound up making $400 a month, where at times I can make $500 a day in Muhlenberg County. I didn't get in this thing to be popular or to put money in my pocket.
Right.
I got into it because he saved me and put something in me
Amen.
To serve him.
Right.
God's allowed me to preach in 44 states and three countries.
Amen.
Plant three churches.
Amen.
And I've been in evangelism most of my Christian life. But I got so tired, brother, of complaining about this political climate we live in. They get on my nerves.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton got on my nerves.
Oh, yeah.
That bunch would get under my skin. And all we've done as Baptists was complain and fuss and complain and gripe and get frustrated and got mad.
Right.
Did y'all ever do that?
Right. Yep.
Even in this hour, it would drive me insane.
Right.
You said, now, wait, there's separation of church and state. Why, Baptists aren't getting involved in it. Well, here's our problem. You got to throw away half of your Bible if you believe that we as Baptists and Christians ought not be involved in government.
Right.
Your sword is two-edged.
Yeah.
Spiritual and governmental.
Uh-huh.
The sword that we carry, the gospel sets souls free. Is that correct?
Right.
But if you live where Brother Patton lived in China,
right,
you can be saved, but you're not free to propagate the gospel.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
But God allowed our forefathers, that were Baptists, by the way,
yeah,
to form this nation. Give us a constitution. That you know our constitution was mirrored off the Rhode Island's constitution.
Right, that's right.
And did you know that they were not going to ratify the constitution being one of the 13 colonies? Because they didn't have the Bill of Rights in it.
Right.
And it had not been for Baptists being there, y'all listening now, we wouldn't have what we have now.
Right.
And we're in the mess we're in. Because Baptists, me being one of them, it's taboo to speak about that.
Come on.
You don't deal with that. Don't get involved with that. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. How are you going to have righteous ruling if you don't find righteous people to be there in government?
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yep.
So then God, through Daniel Freed, gave me a vehicle by which I can serve preaching, evangelism, and working in a governmental way.
Amen.
So what God has done for us, ladies and gentlemen, is give us a vehicle by which we can be involved. You say, what do you do, Brother Thompson? It sounds weird because I'm from Muhlenberg County. Executive director of BZPAC. Wow. Ted Cruz, they're people just like we are.
Yeah.
I've been at D.C. I've been in state houses. I'll be over there next week in our state house. By the way, independent Baptist preacher that pastors a Baptist church up at Hazard is in his third term as a state representative.
Right.
Now, what is BZPAC? We are members that to join is $12 a month to facilitate shaping policy and legislation that stands for your rights, it stands for America, and stands up for Israel.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And God has so opened doors and I am amazed.
Amen.
Beyond amazement. Would you believe that God raised up the funds to send me and my wife to Israel in February in the middle of war?
Amen.
to the Knesset.
Yeah.
Where the parliament is. God opened doors as I could be with seven different members of the Knesset, MKs. One of which has two law degrees and is head over their constitution. Hmm. Would you believe that God let me be with that guy, that gentleman, his last name is Rothman. That gentleman worked along with Netanyahu to revitalize their Supreme Court like Trump did ours.
Amen.
They had to quit as soon as the war started. Mm-hmm. Had another gentleman there that's over the Security Council. God so moved these folks that I have their, would you believe they gave me their personal cell phone number?
Amen.
Would you believe I'm in contact with them at least twice a month? Would you believe that God so moved that I was down with Pastor Scott Dean at Tabernacle on WTBI, and these guys called from all the way to Jerusalem for the first time in Tabernacle's history? That was a sitting elected official in the parliament at Jerusalem for a 30-minute interview.
Amen.
On their radio. Would you believe what was played when they called and waited to go online? The midnight cry. You know? I said to Brother Dean, he's gonna hang up on us.
Yeah.
Then they sung in the choir song, "Oh, I want to see him."
Amen.
Look upon his face.
Amen.
And they're hearing all of that.
Yeah.
And they come on live, and I told them about the day we met. And they started addressing me as brother.
Hmm. Amen.
They have invited me to the UN. They've invited little old me to D.C. and be in a big political event. I don't know how all this happened. All I've done is give God a little something to work with.
Amen.
And now I get to take the gospel. I'll close with this, preacher. I remember sitting down to M.K. Rothman. He's one of these people that he will size you up. You ever talk to people look like they stare in a hole through you?
Yeah.
I sat down at his table, and the first thing he asked me, preacher, was, "Why did you come and why are you here?"
Yeah.
I said, "Sir, let me explain to you. EZPAC represents 20,000 churches, 15 million people. And I don't know a one of them that wants you to give up one grain. That is your land. That belongs to you as a heritage from God through Abraham.
Right.
And we want you," I said, "sir, hold the line."
Right.
"Don't slack off. Hold the line."
Right.
His chin began to quiver. I said, "Sir, I'm going to tell you exactly why I'm here." I grabbed the pitcher and poured him a glass of water. And I said, "I come to bring you good news from a far country. We want to revive your hope in God."
Amen.
And I quoted verses to him. He said, "Are you a missionary?" I said, "No, I'm an old-fashioned, stomped-down, leather-lung, independent Baptist preacher. Amen. I'm an evangelist, praise God." He said, "Will you stand up?" I stood up, preacher, and I'll never forget it. He hugged my neck and kept petting me on my shoulder and kept saying this: "Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming."
Amen.
I sat back down. We sat down. I started talking again, brother, and he said, "Will you stand up again?" I said, "Sure." He said, "What took you so long?" "Where you been for 75 years? I said, "Sir, I ain't even 70 years old. We sat down, and I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to sit down. He looked at me just as sober as anybody. He said, "What do you want?" I said, "I tell you what, I want the same thing you want. I want a friend." He said, "You got it."
Amen.
"You got it." And took me all over that place. I met all kind of people. Now, here's what's going on. This March, the 23rd, putting together a Stronger Together Israel trip, that they're going to host us at the Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust. Host us on an IDF military post. Spend a half day with the Kohelet group that got Netanyahu in office. Spend a day inside the Knesset with the MKs. 12-day tour, $5,585, all-inclusive, from your point of departure over and back. And God's putting that together.
Amen.
And I wish y'all pray the Lord would help us. And we need God's people from the ground up. Wouldn't it be nice to have the mayor of Madisonville, a member of this church?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a council member,
right,
a school board member,
that
love God and fear God? You want to know why we don't have them? Because we don't step up and do it.
Yeah.
There's a gentleman in South Carolina in his early 30s running for Congress down by Lawrence, South Carolina. First time ever he's running unopposed and fixing to get sworn in at the state house out of an independent Baptist church.
Amen.